This time on the Art Beat, we'll meet an award-winning master luthier and talk more about Kentucky Crafted the Market, which happens this weekend. And this Saturday will be a musical celebration and a presentation of a distinguished Kentucky award. We're joined through the miracle of the telephone with Brent Bjorkman from all the way across the state in Bowling Green. Brent, what is it that you do down there in Bowling Green?
Joe, I'm the director of the Kentucky Folklife Program and also the Kentucky Museum based here on the campus of Western Kentucky University.
And I understand there's a big award happening this weekend.
There is. There's a big award in conjunction with our friends at the Kentucky Arts Council. It's the Homer Ledford Award. The Homer Ledford Award began in 2007, hasn't been given out every year, but we've tried to work to streamline that and make this more of a reoccurring, a steady reoccurring thing. This award is given to Kentucky luthiers, people who demonstrate outstanding craftsmanship in making musical instruments by hand. And when we developed this in 2007, it was developed by Bob Gates when he was with the Folklife Program when it was in Frankfurt. And it's just a wonderful way to pay tribute to this man who was such an inspiration to so many people as a luthier himself, as a teacher of the mastery of hand-built instruments. And so we want to keep that going because Kentucky and this great Commonwealth has so many people that are innovative, that make great instruments, that connect with community ideals and community traditions.
Many of our listeners will be familiar with the name Homer Ledford, but for those that aren't, maybe you can describe a little bit about what Homer meant to Central Kentucky and Kentucky music in general.
Well, absolutely. I mean, Homer was the quintessential gentleman, created wonderful instruments, many, many types of instruments, mandolins, dulcimers he was known for. He was innovative. He has instruments in the Smithsonian. But he was also just this friendly, approachable personality. Many people that were interested in craftsmanship and building their own instruments and had the time to go to his workshop remember it very well. It was in the basement of his home. He was able to produce many, many instruments. But he also took those instruments out for school children. He also had a band, Cabin Creek, and would perform all over, sharing the musical legacy of our region and beyond, the bluegrass legacy. And he was known as a performer, as an instrument builder. He was somebody you could rely on to give you answers about your musical instruments, tonality of instruments. He was the quintessential luthier. So, again, that's really what we want to do with this award is to honor his memory and to help propel and honor others. I mean, the Kentucky Folklife Program has as its mission to document, present, and conserve the traditional arts and cultural heritage of the Commonwealth. So this is one visible public way to do that. And we're happy to be at the market this year with all the Arts Council friends that we work so collaboratively with.
What can you tell us about this year's recipient?
This year's recipient, Doug Nesselrode. I mean, he's really in the line with Homer Ledford's ideals. He's a friend of Homer's for many, many years. You know, we had a number of really good applicants this year, and not that others might not go forward in the years to come, but Doug Nesselrode really rose to the top for a couple different reasons. He's really a community-minded, a community-connective kind of fellow. In 2013, he accepted the Master Artist Residency at the Appalachian Artisan Center in Hindman, and he's really done a lot of great work there. He's actually started some programs to teach students music and instrument building. This year, he actually was honored along with his apprentice, Mike Sloan, at the Governor's Award in the Arts in the Folk Heritage category. And he also has a radio program, which is really great, where he shares his thoughts about culture, community. It's the Not Downtown Radio Hour out of Whitesburg. So it's WMMT. Of the mountain. So that's a pretty amazing kind of thing, too. Another thing that really caught my eye when we were looking at these applications, he's helped to start a line of musical instruments in his region, Troublesome Creek Stringed Instruments. And what I thought was really great is, you know, these fine instruments that are made, a lot of times people are using exotic hardwoods from different countries, maybe South America, and he's really putting a Kentucky stamp on it. He's using Kentucky hardwoods. He's really a pioneer in using things like Kentucky Black Locust, which really rivals like Brazilian rosewood that's used in a lot of instruments. So he's very Kentucky-minded, and I think that's what really brought the people that were looking at these grant applications to think very highly of him and put him forward this year. We're going to have a number of students there that are going to be with some traditional artists both on Saturday and Sunday. But on Saturday, we're also going to be partnering with our good friends there that are running the market, the Kentucky Arts Council, to actually give this award. And then Doug is really going to be there on stage sharing his instruments, talking a little bit about and actually doing his radio program. And it's going to be really something to be part of. To be part of that process, and again, learn right from the recipient about what he's learned, how he's bringing his craftsmanship forward. So that's going to be wonderful. So I hope your listeners will come out on Saturday, at the beginning of the day. I believe it's at 1 o'clock, and just to be part of that award to help honor him, to meet Doug, and to share in the wonderful Kentucky crafted the market.
Brent, thank you so much for joining us from all the way there in Western Kentucky. We sure do appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Joe.
We're joined now by Mark Brown, the Folk and Traditional Arts Director for the Kentucky Arts Council, and Doug Nazelrod, the Master Luthier at the Appalachian School of Luthery in Hindman, Kentucky. Doug, what exactly drew you into this life in music?
A pretty girl. She offered to give me guitar lessons, and I thought that was a great idea. No, I love music. I always wanted a way to, get into it, and never really could afford an instrument of my own. But when I was about 15 years old, I met this girl who was really very talented, and I said, you got to show me how to play some of these songs you're doing, because she was playing chords and doing verses of the folk songs of the 60s, and I just thought it was magical, that she was able to do that. And it wasn't long after that till I actually attempted to make a guitar for the same girl, actually.
That's quite a jump. Yeah. Just be learning some folk songs, and then be like, well, I think I'm going to make a guitar.
Well, my background, it's like if you see something you like, you look at it and you go, well, I can make one of those,
Were you into carpentry and stuff like that first?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had messed with woodworking a lot. I had done some aircraft woodworking and, some fairly, technically demanding woodworking even as a youngster. But I had no idea what I was getting into when I tried to make a guitar.
Yeah, and this is not an electric guitar. This is
this was an acoustic guitar.
Exactly.
And it's funny because it kind of parallels a story that Homer likes to tell or used to like to tell when he was living. He had tried to make a fiddle out of matchsticks, and he had glued it all together and used something like library paste. And it sounded great until the first time it rained, and the humidity just caused the whole thing to collapse. Well, my first guitar was made of small squares. The top was small squares of spruce that were set edge to edge because I didn't have a big piece of spruce for a guitar top. I couldn't afford one, didn't even know where to get one. And so I pieced this thing together. It looks like a checkerboard. All I have is a picture of it. I don't know whatever became of it, but the Beatles were still together when I built that guitar.
How long does it take to build a guitar nowadays?
Uninterrupted, which of course doesn't happen, but uninterrupted, I could build one in a couple of weeks.
Do you prefer building guitars as opposed to other instruments, or is that pretty much your main thing?
Well, guitars is the area where I have the most experience, but we do build mandolins and dulcimers and ukuleles, and some of the simpler instruments like the dulcimers are actually a lot of fun to build. The guitars are my main area of strength, I think, because that's where my resume is, my experience. Of course, I used to work for Collings Guitars in Austin, and I really sort of did my postgraduate in guitar making down there in Texas. So that's really where my strongest credentials are. And, you could call it my comfort zone. Yeah.
I understand you use a lot of Kentucky woods.
We focus on Kentucky woods. Partly because of the preference of the apprentices. Almost everyone that comes in there wants that connection to their to their place. You know, they want to build out of what belongs to them, not only actually belongs to them, a wood that they can obtain themselves, but they want to use wood that belongs to the place where they live. You know, it's a very rooted kind of a process.
What specifically about the wood of Kentucky is unique, other than just where it's from? Is there something about the material itself?
Well, we have some really great materials. We have a black locust, which seems to grow in just a few places. And that black locust is a wonderful tone wood. It's interchangeable with some of the tropical rosewoods that the commercial makers prefer. But we also really, really like the red spruce that grows up at some of the higher elevations. Also goes by the name Adirondack spruce. A wonderful, wonderful tone wood, highly sought after. And, of course, we've really, really leaned heavily with all of our instruments. We've used a lot of Kentucky black walnut. The black walnut it does come in big, beautiful boards. It's been sawn there for 100 years. And we actually find very, very old material down there that I would have to say is pretty exceptional. It makes a great guitar.
When you say tone wood, you're talking about a particular character of the wood which makes it good for instrument making.
Yeah, you can actually hold the piece of wood up and tap it, and it'll ring. You know, you'll hear a bell-like quality to it, just sort of almost like you're ringing a piece of brass. And when you get that in a board, you know that you've got something that you need to do with it. And really, that's the whole magic of what we do, is you start out with a board and you end up with music. And that's just something you never get tired of doing.
Doug, we're going to come back to you in just a moment, but we're going to get Mark on here. And Mark, if you can tell us about specifically what's going to happen on Saturday.
Sure thing. Saturday, April the 22nd. At Kentucky Crafted the Market, we're presenting the Kentucky Stage, and we're excited to work with and host the Kentucky Folklife Program's presentation of the Homer Ledford Award Saturday at noon. There's going to be a lot of kind of background exploration of Doug's art and his mastery of luthery in Kentucky, the role that he serves in communities that he works with, and the impact that he's having. Both at his home in Winchester and also in southeastern Kentucky in Hindman, where he's starting up the Kentucky School of Luthery at the Appalachian Artisan Center. And they're establishing Hindman really as the home place of the Appalachian Mountain Dulcimer. I'm a folklorist by training. You can get your master's in folk studies at Western Kentucky University. And so for many years, I've worked starting with the Kentucky Folklife Program and later for the Kentucky Arts Council. I've documented tradition bearers just like Doug. And this art form is particularly special for Kentucky. We have, everybody knows we have a rich musical community and many musical communities across the Commonwealth. And the artists that keep those stringed instruments sounding good are just as important as the musicians who play them. So in a lot of ways, those two types of art forms work together. And we're fortunate in Kentucky to have so many talented master luthiers. The Ledford Award has been presented a few times in the past, and this year I'm excited to see a worthy recipient in Doug Nazelrode. We're going to get to not only present the award to Doug, but hear what his instruments sound like. We're going to talk with him and musicians from his community that he serves and get some of their thoughts on what makes Doug's instruments so special. We're going to mic them up on stage and get to hear them performed live. In working with Doug, we had an idea to host a recording of his radio show, which airs on WMMT in Whitesburg. The Knott Downtown Radio Hour. That's spelled K-N-O-T-T for Knott County. So we're going to do a taping of the Knott Downtown Radio Hour, presenting Doug his award, interviewing him and other musicians, and introducing the band Kentucky Wild Horse, members of whom are also going to play some of Doug's instruments on stage.
Cool. I'm looking forward to that. I always love to hear other people play those instruments.
Doug, how long have you been doing radio?
Knott Downtown Radio Hour went online about 3 years ago, and I've been in and out of radio. As a kid, I actually worked in radio, back when small market stations were around. I actually worked at WMST, Voice of the Gateway, at 105.5 on your FM dial. I had a country show. But the show that we do now, we just – We play traditional and original music. We sort of alternate back and forth from the old-timey musicians that are in our circle down there to the songwriters of Appalachia. And there's so much, such a stronghold of that kind of thing down there that the show just sort of had to be done so that these people would have a venue. And it's worked out really well. People are lining up for our next show. We actually record the show right there in the Luthry, right in the among the workbenches and the sawdust, you know, right in the middle of everything.
Do you often get to take the show on the road as you're doing this weekend?
About as far as we've gotten historically has been the Knott County Trail Ride. You know, we've gotten out there on the mountain with it. It's the first time we've ever went out of town.
Yeah.
It's kind of exciting.
Yeah.
Real exciting for a small town like Hyndman.
Yeah.
Hyndman's only got about 700 or 800 people in the town. So, you know, for us to come out and be represented in Great Big Lexington, that's pretty exciting.
That's fun. Yeah. And it must be exciting to know you're getting an award named after someone that you knew and were close with.
Yeah, that's so strange. Yeah. I mean, when we lost Homer, we were kind of shocked. I mean, really grieving. And I started hearing people talking about, I found a Ledford over here, or I found a Ledford over there. And, it kind of poleaxed me there for a while. I was realizing that my friend had become a category of collectible. And now I'm a little more adjusted to it, but apparently now he's also an award. So, knowing Homer personally, as I did for many years, I think I was about halfway through my first guitar project whenever I went and begged Homer for help. It was probably about 1970. So I knew him for a good long time. And it's fair to say that he was my principal mentor as I was learning the craft. I certainly imposed on him often. And, to receive an award with his name on it, that's pretty special for me.
Knowing him like you did,
yeah.
How do you think he would feel knowing that he is an award now? And also, a part two of that question is, how do you think he'd feel knowing that you're the recipient?
Well, I don't know about me being the recipient. Now, that's something that I haven't spent a lot of time thinking about. I know that Homer would love the fact that there's an award going around with his name on it. He was never reluctant to leave his name on things. I mean, he was one of those people that would write, if you made some little jig or a fixture or a clamp or something, he would write, "Homer C. Ledford made this." And because I think he was acutely aware of the fact that he'd be gone someday, and what would be left of him, in large part, would be these artifacts, this work that he'd done, and these beautiful instruments that he made. I don't know what kind of report card I would get from Homer in 2017. I guess we'll never know. It's probably just as well.
Well, he saw some of the instruments you made, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He was very complimentary and very encouraging always. And, I would, as I got older, I'd make guitars and take them over to him, and he'd be very humble about it. He'd say, "Well, these are nice. These are a lot nicer than my guitars, Doug. You're the guitar maker. I just make dulcimers." And I'd say, "Yeah, right, Homer. Thanks."
Of course, he could make anything he wanted to, I imagine.
I think he did make anything he wanted to. He really that's one of the things that I think needs to be remembered about Homer, as much as the dulcimer making and his stagecraft. You know, he was a great showman. But the fact that he had such a zeal for invention, he loved to build things that no one else had made. And for him, the idea of a dulcibro or a dulcitar or, on and on and on and on, I think that was one of the reasons that he kept working, because he always wanted to do the fun thing. He would kind of save those up for Fridays. I do remember that. He was doing his production work on the on his bread and butter, which were the dulcimers. And of course, he made more than 6,000 of those, I think. But at the end of the week, he would save himself out some time to play. And that's when he would make things that no one else had ever made before, just to see if they'd work. And usually they worked really well.
Do you have some of his instruments in your collection?
Well, I have, yes, I do. And I have all of the patterns and the blueprints down there at the Museum of the Mountain Dulcimer. We're fortunate to be stewards of a lot of Homer's shop notes and, you know, the documentation and also the actual physical molds that he built a lot of the instruments in, that some of which are, I think, in the Smithsonian now. I mean, you know, some really one-off, extremely innovative instruments.
Is this a place that's open to the public? Can people come and share an interest in this? They can come and visit?
Well, we actually have two buildings in downtown Hyman. One has our gallery and our the main studios. It's called the Cody Building. In the front, at the street level, it has the Museum of the Mountain Dulcimer. Now, part of that collection is housed over at the what we call the Boland Building, which is our Luthry studio, just a few doors down the street. And there's an awful lot about Homer and the history of the Mountain Dulcimer there, you know, as well. Of course, one of the reasons that we have pursued the history of the Mountain Dulcimer is because Hyman is the birthplace of the modern Mountain Dulcimer as we know it. The hourglass-shaped dulcimer that is long and, you know, light and delicate, that has the little heart sound holes. Well, that the genesis of that style of instrument actually occurred right there in Knott County in the 1800s. And we, you know, when you go that far back when you're doing research, you know, there's always someone, you know, saying, well, there's this guy over in Huntington and there's this person here and there. But we're pretty sure that the Mountain Dulcimer, as we know it, was born right there about 15 miles out of town.
Are you a native of Hyman? Are you from, or did you?
No, I'm from Mount Sterling.
Mount Sterling, okay.
They called me down to Hyman.
Mark, I want to talk about the fact that this folk music that's indigenous to Kentucky, this is something that has spread worldwide. People come. Does this bring people to the state?
If we're talking specifically about dulcimer music, which is kind of a big focus of what Doug and the School of Luthery are into, we can talk about, you know, the dulcimer developing, as Doug said, in Knott County, and the influence of those early makers spreading across the region. And then it really exploded, I think, when Jean Ritchie took the scene, and she played dulcimers for crowds all over the U.S. You know, when she took the dulcimer with her to New York City, I think that really took it across the world.
1947, she went to New York.
So it's a worldwide thing now, and I think it's something that Kentuckians can be proud of, not only the structure of the instrument itself, but the music that's played on it has a distinct quality. It reflects the values and the aesthetics of the people in that region, and it's appreciated there and elsewhere.
Is this something that has been profitable to the state as far as a tourist attraction?
I think there's always room for growth there, but yeah, I think it's something that you know, music lovers appreciate, and several people from all over the U.S. make a pilgrimage to Hyman once a year to visit the Mountain Dulcimer homecoming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Hyman Dulcimer Homecoming is a festival that we initiated about 3 years ago. Also, we have a real strong support from people coming from outside of the state, actually from as far away as Yokohama, Japan. We had a fellow last year who came down to build an Uncle Ed Thomas dulcimer. You know, there come to the source and build a, you know, an authoritative replica. Well, we teach people how to do that there, and that seems to be a real strong draw. We just had a workshop with a young lady from Maine and a fellow from Germantown, Ohio. They went through and spent the week there. So that's as far as the School of Luthry goes, that's one of the ways that we share it. And, of course, people come and spend a week there, so it's significant.
When is the festival?
In November. I think it's the second weekend in November. I don't want to throw the dates out there because I always get them wrong, but it's not the very first weekend, but the second one.
Doug, is there a website that people can go and check out what you do? I'm sure you have photographs and things like that where people can look.
Yeah, well, we have a website called artisancenter.net, which is the website of the Appalachian Artisan Center. Right now, that's the main way to get to everything we do. We're building a website for the School of Luthry. We're very fortunate to have, I don't know if I told you this, Mark, we're having Malcolm Wilson has been taking images for it. He's done some great photographic work. In fact, he was in the class with that bunch we just had through, and he's working on building us a website just for the School of Luthry. But right now you can go to artisancenter.net, and you can also find archived programs of the Not Downtown Radio Hour. You don't have to wonder about it. You can go there and see.
And, Mark, is there a website for people to check out what's happening in folk life in Kentucky?
Thank you. Yes, while you're on the web, visit artscouncil.ky.gov, and you can find links to Kentucky Crafted the Market. There are lots of details as far as dates, times. Saturday, April 22nd, we're open from 9 a.m. to 7 p.m., and then Sunday, April 23rd, from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Convention Hall is full of exhibitors from all over the state who have been juried into the Kentucky Crafted program, and our music stage is going to be going strong all weekend. So the Ledford Award presentation and the Not Downtown Radio Hour is just a two-hour section of our weekend-long series on the Kentucky stage. We're going to be experiencing a lot of great music across the state there. Admission for attendees is $12. It's $10 for senior citizens, military folks, and state employees. And kids 15 and under get in free with an adult.
Mark, thank you so much for joining us. And Doug, thank you for coming in, and congratulations on your award.
Thank you very much.
Kentucky Craft at the Market runs Saturday and Sunday downtown at the Lexington Convention Center, featuring art, literature, food, and live music. Thank you for listening to our Art Beat podcast. I'm Joe Conkright for WUKY.